Hare Krishna. So today we understood who is Ramchandra from Brahma Samhita class. Did you remember? How many of you remember? Very good. No one from this side? Rama di Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan Nana Vatara Makarod Bhubaneshu Kintu Krishna Svayam Samabhavat Paramah Kumanjo Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhaja. Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan. Ram Nrisingha Varaha Kurma. These are the incarnations of the avatars of the Supreme Personality of God. Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Pura Parama Kumanja. But then again, there is no difference between Ramchandra and Krishna Chandra. Ram, Sita Ram, Radha Krishna. Lakshmi Narayan, Radha Krishna. Now later on we will come across another verse in Brahma Samhita which will describe the relationship between Krishna and the different incarnations. There that has been described as Deeparchire Bahi Dasantaram Abhupetya Deepayate Vibrita Hetu Samana Dharma. Just as one lamp lights many other lamps, and after they lit up, they give out the same amount of light. So, but still, the origin, so there is no difference between different lamps. But the first lamp lit the other lamps. That's the only difference. Krishna is the Parama Kumanjo. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lit, who is the cause of other incarnations. So here we can understand the meaning of the word Sarva Karana, Karana. Ishvara, why Krishna is the Parameshwar? Because he is Sarva Karana, Karana. Sarva Karana, Karana means he is the Karan, he is the cause of the incarnations also. So this is how Brahma Samhita, through Brahma Samhita we can get a very clear understanding. And that's why I decided to give a seminar on Brahma Samhita and through Brahma Samhita explain Srimad Bhagavatam, the teachings, the purports, the essential teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Someday I would like to give a seminar on another very wonderful book that is called Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Yesterday I was mentioning that I gave a seminar on Brihad Bhagavatamritam in Vrindavan for 1 month. Even 1 month is not enough. Ramayana also, like 1 week is nothing for Ramayana. I'm just really rushing through all the points, all the incidents. There are people who have been reading Ramayana throughout their whole life. They're reading every day, all the time they're reading. There are people who are reading Mahabharata. Just like we are reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam year after year. And does it look like we understood Bhagavad Gita completely? No. Each time we read, we get a newer meaning. We get newer understanding. Nitta Nava Navayaman. Each time we read, it appears to be, it comes to us as if it's we are reading for the first time, revealing various newer and newer realization. So that is the wonderful thing about a scripture. When, before I joined Krishna consciousness, I was very fond of one person's writing and her philosophy. And recently I tried to read that book again. I just couldn't read it. It seemed to be so boring. It's So, but Bhagavata, Bhagavad Gita, we are reading again and again and again and again. It's coming to us with newer and newer meaning, newer and newer realization. So today we will do the Sundar Kanda. I'll try to cover, actually I thought that I'll cover Sundar Kanda in 2 days, but I'll try to cover Sundar Kanda today only in 2 sessions. As I said, I am rushing through. And this is not that I am giving you the entire understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramayana, but I am just giving you the essential outline of Ramayana. Now it's up to you to go delve into it, go deeper into it. So up to where did we discuss yesterday? Who remembers? Yes? Very good. Sampati, who is Sampati? Sampati is Jatayu's brother. Sampati told the monkeys that Ravan took Sita Devi across the ocean to the south. And so then the monkeys went to the south towards the ocean. And when they came to the ocean and saw the vastness, they became discouraged. They started to think, how are we going to cross the ocean and go to Lanka? Because from the shore they couldn't see the Lanka. But they simply got an idea that Lanka is there, 100 yojanas, 800 miles from the shore. So they started to figure out what to do. And as I mentioned, they had capacity, they declared that they have capacity. Some could jump 60 yojanas, some could jump 70 yojanas, some could jump 90 yojanas. Then Angad said that he could jump 100 yojanas, but coming back, he doesn't know whether he will be able to make it. One jump he can, but a return jump, he was not sure. So then Jambavan told them that he was going to, he told them not to worry. He said, I know about somebody who is capable of doing that and much more. And then he told the story of Hanuman's birth. There was a apsara called Punjakasthali, and she was cursed by a rishi and took birth as Anjana, a very, very beautiful damsel. And Anjana was married to Keshari. Anjana was a monk in the monkey tribe, so she was married to Keshari, the king of the monkeys. And one day Vayu, the wind god, became attracted by her and approached her. And she said that I am already married to Keshari. But Vayu, in a subtle form, entered into her body, and as a result of that, a child was born. And who is that child? That child is Hanuman. Now, do you remember Brahma told the demigods to produce monkeys in order to assist Lord Ramchandra. So Hanuman was, from his birth alone, from his birth only, he was an extremely powerful person. And he was so powerful, and he was creating some disturbance. He actually was, he jumped thinking that the sun was a fruit. He, as a baby, he was feeling hungry, and he thought that the sun was a fruit, so he jumped to get the sun. Now, people may think, oh, these are all fairy tales. Now, we have, what is our understanding? Whatever has been spoken in the scriptures is the truth and nothing but the truth. Now, we have to consider that something from our perspective may be impossible, but on another plane that is not impossible. Like, for example, if you tell a man, if you tell an ant about a man's ability, what will the ant say? Ant will say, oh, it's a fairy tale. Isn't it? So similarly, to some creatures, we are like ants. And we are, we may think that it is impossible, but on that plane, according to them, it is not impossible. So Indra hurled thunder to prevent Hanuman. And Hanuman fell from a great height and he was injured. So Vayu became so upset, Hanuman's father, that he went on strike. Here later. Hare Krishna. Ugula mic ta age test kore nao na kena tumra. You are in charge of the sound system. No, you are sound in charge. Okay? Ansul is broadcast in charge. Hare Krishna. Is it all right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So, then Vayu withdrew. Vayu went on strike. The god, the demigod who controls air. Now when Vayu goes on strike, then what happens? If there is no air, this is not the air that blows like this air. Vayu controls the air like what we're breathing, that air. The nervous system that is functioning, that is through the control of Vayu. And all that. So, there was a big chaos all over the creation. So the demigods were completely perturbed. They approached Brahma. So Brahma came and Vayu told, look what Indra has done. Look how he treated my son. Then Brahma said, okay. I give the benediction to your son that he'll never be defeated in a battle. No one will be able to defeat him in a battle. And indirectly he pointed out that he will be a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of God. And so Lord Brahma blessed Hanuman to become invincible in battle. Indra also was pleased and surprised to see that the baby monkey had not been killed by his thunderbolt. Therefore, he awarded Hanuman the benediction of being able to die at will. So Indra gave him a benediction that Hanuman will die only when he so desired. Like Bhishma Dev. Ichchamrityu. So then, Jambavan told that Hanuman, he can not only cross, traverse 100 yojanas, but he can do many more things. So Hanuman became inspired by hearing that. So Hanuman started telling that I can circumambulate Mount Meru 1,000 times. I can survive circumambulate Garuda 1,000 times when Garuda is flying. So in this way, Hanuman actually expressed his ability. So then they all went to, then Hanuman told that he will take his leap from the peak of Mount Mahendra, since it is capable of sustaining the immense pressure that Hanuman will exert while jumping. Now what happened? Due to the force of Hanuman's jump, all the trees on the peak of Mount Mahindra were uprooted and thrown into the sky. Hanuman soared like a huge cloud and stretched out his tail. As Hanuman sailed through the heavens, the uprooted trees followed in his wake and plummeted into the ocean. So, in this way, Hanuman actually took his leap across the ocean. Now, the ocean, when the ocean god Varun saw that Hanuman is serving Ram, so he decided to come to his assistance. So under the water, under the ocean, there is a mountain called Mainak. So Varun told Mainak to go up so that if Hanuman gets tired, he can rest there. So Mainak rose. So when Mainak rose, Hanuman thought that it was an impediment. So he just pushed it down onto the water. And then Mainak appeared in his personal form, the personality of Mainak Mountain, and told him to take some rest. So Hanuman said, look, I don't have any time to take rest. And Hanuman just touched the mountain top, because Mainak desired it, to show respect to Mainak. He just touched the mountain top. Then the demigods and siddhas and charanas, they approached Suresha. Suresha was the mother of the Nagas. Daksha had Daksha's eight daughters were given to Kashyapa, and through them Kashyapa actually created, like from Diti came Daityas. You remember we are in Srimad Bhagavatam, we are actually studying now on the third canto, how Diti got pregnant at a wrong time, and as a result what happened? Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were born. So they are known as Daityas. Another daughter is Aditi. From her came the Adityas, or Indra, Chandra, Surya, etc. There are 12 Adityas. From another daughter, Vinata, another wife of Kashyapa, came Garuda and Aruna. Arun and Garuda. Sampati is Jataya's brother. So he is actually the son of Arun. And then another wife of Kashyapa, and another daughter of Daksha, is Kadru. From Kadru, the snakes have appeared. And from Suresha, Nagas appeared. So the demigods told Suresha, the mother of Nagas, that they wanted to ascertain the real strength of Hanuman. So they requested her to test that. So being ordered by them, being requested by them, Suresha assumed the huge, gigantic form. And when Hanuman was flying through the sky, she appeared there with a terrible form, huge, gigantic form, and wanted to swallow Hanuman. And saying, that I have got the benediction from Brahma that whatever comes on my way, I eat that. I'll be able to eat that. By the benediction of Lord Brahma, it has been ordained that I can eat whatever food comes before me. Whatever food comes before me, I can eat that. So now that you have come, so please become my food. I'm going to eat you. Hanuman said, look, I am on an errand of Lord Ramchandra. And when I finish the job, I'll come and enter into your mouth. Now let me go. So, she said, no. Like, since you have come on my, coming before me, I'm going to eat you. So when she wanted to swallow Hanuman, Hanuman became even bigger than her mouth. So she expanded her mouth even bigger. Then Hanuman became even bigger. So as she was trying to swallow Hanuman, Hanuman was expanding his form. And then Hanuman, in a flash of a moment, Hanuman became as small as a thumb and entered into her mouth and came out. Said, look, I fulfilled your condition. So then Suresha appeared with her original celestial form and said that I was actually testing you. So in this way, Suresha was delighted with Hanuman's clever victory. She then appeared before him in her original form, saying, well done, O foremost of monkeys. Go now and accomplish your mission. May you soon unite Sita with Lord Ram. So then Hanuman continued on his way to Lanka, jumped to Lanka. Then came another Rakshasi. Her name is Singhika. She also came. And she actually had the benediction, she had the ability that she could catch any flying creature by the shadow and eat that. She grabbed Hanuman's shadow and at that time Hanuman felt that he lost all his strength. And he felt very weak. He didn't know what was happening. And then he saw this terrible demon is Singhika. And she said, I'm going to eat you. I have caught you by your shadow. So there also, Hanuman started to, as she wanted to eat Hanuman, Hanuman tried to expand, but he could see that she could actually become even bigger, and she was about to eat him. So then Hanuman reversed his strategy. So he became very small again. And he entered into Singhika's belly. And with his nails, he tore open Singhika's heart and killed her. Then he came out of her body and resumed his expanded size. As Singhika fell down dead in the water, the Siddhas, Charanas and Bidadharas glorified Hanuman for his victory. Soon thereafter, Hanuman could see the shore of Lanka. He could see the beaches, the forests on the distant shore of Lanka, and thinking that if he maintained his huge form, gigantic form, then the Rakshasas would spot him. So he assumed his normal size again and landed on Trikuta mountain. Lanka, Ravan's capital, was actually situated on top of that Trikuta mountain. So he landed there. And he saw the beautiful city of Lanka, indescribable. The walls of the city were made with solid gold. The palaces were so beautiful. There were 7-8 story palaces. And thousands of palaces, not one or two palaces. And it was, the city was surrounded with moats filled with lotus flowers. So Hanuman approached the northern gate. But Hanuman then waited till the sunset. Because he didn't want anyone to spot him. So he waited for the sunset and then he reduced himself to the size of a cat and he climbed on the wall and entered into the city. So when he entered into the city of Lanka, the Lanka personified appeared, a Rakshasi. And she asked Hanuman, how did you dare to come here? Nobody is allowed to enter into Lanka except the Rakshasas. You monkey, how did you enter here? So Hanuman said, I was curious to find out how is Lanka city of Ravana. So that's why I have come here. So she said, no, you are not allowed to come here. I'll eat you. So saying that, she slapped Hanuman with her left hand. And Hanuman was so enraged. So he also slapped her with his left hand. And that slap was so powerful that Singhika fainted, fell on the ground. And then she got up and said that I was told by Lord Brahma that when a monkey will come and slap me, that will be the indication of the destruction of Lanka and the destruction of the Ravan along with his associates. So she fell at Hanuman's feet. I said, now I can understand. Now Lanka is doomed and you have come to declare that doom. So, and then she allowed Hanuman to go in. She said that once, long ago, Lord Brahma told me, when you are overpowered by a monkey, the destruction of your city and all the Rakshasas is imminent. I therefore admit defeat, for I can understand that Ravana's death is at hand. O monkey, you have my permission to enter Lanka. So, Hanuman went to Lanka, then he started to wonder how to find Sita. So he was going from palace to palace. Then he came to Ravana's palace. And next to the palace, Pushpak Rath of Ravan was parked. So he climbed on top of Pushpak and started to look around. And then he entered into Ravana's palace. Then he found that they were, after their night-long enjoyment, after midnight, they all have fallen asleep. And there were thousands of beautiful women. They all are fast asleep due to their intoxicated enjoyment. And then he came across Ravana. And he saw Ravana had one head and two hands. The 10 heads of Ravana he used to assume only at the time of war. But here he saw that Ravana was lying surrounded by beautiful women and he was extremely powerful and extremely handsome in appearance. And his body bore the marks of his battle, heroic deeds in battle. There was a mark of thunder on his chest. There was the mark of Airavat gushing his, injuring him. Upon entering the inner quarters, Hanuman saw thousands of beautiful, colorfully dressed women sprawled upon the expensive carpet. With half of the night gone, they were fast asleep under the influence of intoxicating wine and exhaustion from their amorous revels. The women's jewel bracelets, belt and ankle belts appeared like lotus lakes, serene with silent swans and sleeping bees. Anyway, in the midst, Hanuman saw Ravana lying asleep upon an elegant silken couch placed atop a crystal dais and covered with a white canopy that was decorated with flowers. Ravana was seen to have one head and two arms, for it was only in battle that he assumed his gigantic form with 10 heads and 20 arms. Hanuman also noticed the numerous wounds upon Ravana's body, coming from such illustrious weapon as King Indra's thunderbolt, Airavat's task, and Lord Vishnu's chakra. Lying a bit apart from the rest of the women on a lavishly decorated couch was fair-complexioned Mandodari, Ravana's favorite queen. She was so beautiful that Hanuman thought this must be Sita. And upon thinking that he discovered Sita, he started to jump with joy, literally jump with joy, clapping his hands. And he was actually going from pillar to pillar. But then it occurred to him that Sita will never surrender to somebody else but Ram. This cannot be Sita. Although in beauty she appears to be as beautiful as Sita. And Sita will never decorate herself in this way, you two. So this is how Hanuman realized that this cannot be Sita. So then Hanuman went from palace to palace looking for Sita. And everywhere he saw so many beautiful women fast asleep. So seeing them, Hanuman started to think, did I break the tenets of dharma looking at these women when they are not properly dressed? Hanuman thought, perhaps I have violated religious principles by gazing upon the wives of others sleeping in a state of undress. What will be my destination? But then he thought, however, after some consideration, Hanuman concluded, it is the motive that determines, not the act, whether it's virtuous or sinful. It's the motive, not the act itself. I have remained pure, while gazing upon these women, I have remained pure in mind, for my only concern is to find Sita. Since I am looking for a woman, where else can I search except among women? I am only doing this in the service of Lord Ram. Therefore, my looking upon others' wives cannot be sinful. So when Hanuman completed looking at Ravana's palace, then finally he became quite morose, thinking, how am I going to find Sita? And then he spotted a beautiful garden with Ashoka trees. So and he, before that, he became so upset that he started to consider to take Ravana to Ram so that Ram can sacrifice him to Lord Shiva. But then he went to the, when he was thinking, then he gave up that idea. so that actually Ravan's valor will be established when he comes and defeats Ravan. So I am not going to take Ravan to Ram because that will be an insult to Ram. So he was thinking, sitting high, on the high wall, and then he saw that suddenly saw a large grove of Ashoka trees on the outskirts of the town that had not yet been explored. So Hanuman resolved to continue his search. So he offered his obeisances to Ram, Lakshman and principal demigods. And then he jumped from the wall to the Ashoka Grove. And there Hanuman was looking at different directions. In the meantime, the moon came up. When the moon came up, he could see more clearly. And on one side, he saw a huge temple. And a temple with 1,000 pillars situated within, in a beautiful garden. And in front of the temple sat a woman dressed in single, dirty, worn-out, fine yellow cloth. She appeared emaciated from fasting, and because of her anguish, she sighed heavily again and again. Although her face was wet with tears, displaying her anxiety and exhaustion, she nonetheless shone with a divine radiance. Looking like a smoke-covered fire, she was surrounded by many Rakshasis. Hanuman recognized her to be the woman he saw earlier when Ravan was carrying her away. Hanuman gazed at the woman's full moon face, her graceful eyebrows. In this way, he looked at Sita Devi. And he recognized that this must be Sita. And the Rakshasis that were guarding Sita, some of these Rakshasis had only one eye or ear. One had ears all over her body and another had a nose in the middle of her forehead. Some were bald and some were dwarfs. Some were hunchbacked and some had lips that hung down their chins. So they all are hideous looking, Rakshasi. So Hanuman wept tears of joy in finding Sita. Remaining concealed atop an Ashoka tree, he watched her as the night passed away. Ravana woke up before dawn by the singing of the birds, singing of the Charanas, who praised his glory. And as he rose, Ravan began to think of Sita. Ravan was always thinking of Sita. So then Ravan came to Ashoka forest, and where Sita was, surrounded by 100 beautiful women carrying golden lamps, chamaras and other paraphernalia. And still under the influence of the previous night's intoxication, Ravana was staggering along, followed by the lovely ladies who appeared to be like flashes of lightning behind a cloud. When Sita saw Ravan coming, she covered her body as best as she could. Then, trembling violently, she sat down and wept. As Sita sat upon the bare ground, she swayed back and forth like a frail boat tossing upon a stormy ocean. In her wretched condition, Sita appeared to be like an understanding that had been dimmed, hope that had been frustrated, an order flouted, or a sacred altar that had been desecrated. She was like a full moon in eclipse, an army that had been routed, or a stream dried up from drought. She was like a pond whose lotuses has been uprooted, an extinguished flame, or birds fleeing from fright. Seeing Ravan coming, Sita took a straw and placed it between him and her, as an indication that she didn't want to directly deal with her. There was a symbol of her unwillingness to contact him directly. So she took the straw and placed it between Ravan and her. Then she gently told Ravan. When Ravan expressed his love for her, he was prepared to offer everything. He was prepared to become her slave for his entire life. He was prepared to offer his kingdom and all his possessions, everything at her feet. But Sita replied, "You should withdraw your mind from me and remain contented with the consorts you already possess. You will never be able to possess me, just as a sinful man fails to achieve perfection. I was born in a noble family and married according to religious principles. I will never act contrary to the tenets of religiousness. There is no hope of you gaining my favor." Turning her back to Ravana, Sita continued, "Because you are acting perversely, directing yourself away from the path of virtue, you will become the cause for the destruction of your entire kingdom. Why not follow the examples of good men who protect their wives and the wives of others? The fool who is dissatisfied with his own wife and seeks pleasure with the wives of others is doomed. Why do you ignore the advice of the wise men and reject that which is good? Why are you determined to cause the destruction of all the Rakshasas? Do you not know that everyone rejoices at the destruction of wicked persons? I'll never be tempted by your offers of insignificant opulence and royal comforts. I am as inseparable from Ram as sunshine from the sun. The only way that you can save yourself from Ram's wrath is to voluntarily deliver me back to him. You should try to make friends with him, for he is very merciful to those who take shelter of him. Otherwise, it will not be long before Ram and Lakshman comes here and suck out your life breath with their arrows. You shall never escape Ram's vengeance, even though you may be capable of saving yourself from Indra's thunderbolt. It is only a matter of time before Ram finds out and kills you for your wickedness." Ravana then retorted, "Generally, the more courteously a man treats a woman, the more agreeably she responds to him. Generally, the more courteously a man treats a woman, the more agreeable she responds to him. In your case, however, the opposite holds true. I should kill you for your harsh words. You are fortunate, however, because my love for you controls my anger. Like a charioteer that curbs untruly steeds, love acts strangely. For the more a beloved mistreats her lover, the more he showers her with affection. It is for this reason alone that I do not kill you. Although death and dishonor are what you deserve, already 10 months of your 1 year grace period have passed. Thus, I shall wait only 2 more months. Then, if you still refuse to reciprocate my love, I shall have you chopped to pieces by my cooks and served for my breakfast." She again rebuked Rama, Ravana, saying, "For no one has tried to deter you from this ignoble act which is meant for your destruction. Ram is like a mighty elephant and you are a tiny rabbit. You can speak boldly only when Ram is out of sight. I could reduce you to ashes utilizing my mystic power, but I refrain from doing so because I have not received such an order from Ram. You are a fool, for it is impossible to kidnap the wife of Lord Ram. You have only been able to do so because this is the device Providence has chosen to have me as the instrumental cause of your death." So Ravan could steal Sita only because it was devised by the Providence that in this way he would be killed. And also we know that Ravan did not steal Sita. Ravan could not steal Sita. What is stole is the Maya Sita, the illusory form of Sita. Illusory Sita that was produced when Sita took shelter of Agnidev. So in this way, finally Ravan left saying that when his wives, Mandodari and Dhannamalini, embraced him, saying, "Come back to your palace and enjoy with us. Forget about this pale, emaciated Sita. When a man desires to enjoy a woman who does not love him, he only suffers. However, when the woman loves him in return, he enjoys extreme delight." So then when Ravana left, then Hanuman started to think that now I'll go and meet Sita. But how shall I meet Sita? First of all, she doesn't know me, and if I go in front of her, she will think that I am Ravan has assumed this form and come to her. And he thought that if I speak in Sanskrit, assuming the form of a Brahmana, she will think that this must be Ravan. So in this way, Hanuman started to think. Then he also thought that if I speak in Ajodhya dialect, then also she will believe me. But if she hears monkey speaking like a human, then she will suspect that it must be Ravana in disguise. So Hanuman then stayed on a branch of great Ashoka tree and began to recite, "Descendant of Ikshaku, King Dasharath was his name. Righteous and heroic, he ruled Ajodhya of fame. He received four mighty sons, Ram, the loved of his heart, full of infinite potencies, Vishnu in a human part. To give Kaikeyi her boons, into exile Ram was sent. Upholder of his father's vow, with Sita and Lakshman he went. When Ram killed the Rakshasas, who filled the rishis with fear, Ravana kidnapped Sita with the help of Maricha the deer. Then, in his search for Sita, Ram made Sugriv a friend. To search the southern quarter, I, Hanuman, did he send. After crossing many mountains, I jumped the ocean vast, and thus I have succeeded in finding you at last. Ram will come to save you, his dearly beloved wife. Now give me a little message to save your husband's life." When Hanuman became silent, Sita began looking up into the tree to find the speaker. When she sighted Hanuman, she thought that she must be dreaming, and she thought that it is It is inauspicious to see a monkey in a dream. Anyway, so then finally Hanuman succeeded in winning her confidence. Gaining confidence, Hanuman said, "I am an envoy of Ram, and I can assure you he is quite well. Ram has sent me here to locate you. He anxiously inquires about your welfare." Sita was delighted. With great happiness, they continued talking to each other. However, as they became engrossed in conversation, Hanuman began inching his way closer to Sita. So Hanuman, out of his eagerness, started to get closer and closer to Sita. And Sita all of a sudden noticed that. Upon realizing this, Sita was suddenly seized with the thought that he was actually Ravan, disguised as a monkey. Thus she exclaimed, "Oh, how disgusting that I have been tricked into talking with you." Sita then sank to the ground, exhausted from grief. She rebuked Hanuman, saying, "You, how abominable for you to come to me in a disguise." The next moment, however, Sita considered, "I certainly feel delighted at heart to see this monkey. Perhaps my suspicions are false. Perhaps he really is a messenger from Ram." Thus, composing herself, Sita again addressed Hanuman more favorably. "Please tell me more and more of Ram. Your descriptions of him are most pleasing to my ears and heart." Then Sita asked Hanuman to describe Lord Ramchandra. So Hanuman started to then describe. "Ram has eyes that resemble lotus petals. He has broad shoulders and mighty arms, and his neck is shaped like a conch. His eyes are coppery, and his voice deep like the sound of kettle drum. He is solid in the three places: his breast, wrist, and fist. He is elevated in three places: his chest, the rim of his navel, and his abdomen. He is reddish in three places: his eyes, his nails, and palms." So these are the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And where did he find that? In the nectar of devotion. So in this way, Hanuman spoke to Sita Devi. I'll just quickly go through this part. After hearing Hanuman's description of Ram, Sita became convinced that he was indeed a messenger sent by her husband. She began shedding tears of joy. Hanuman then took the opportunity to give Ram's ring to Sita. Okay, so I'll stop now. It's already 12:05. So we'll have a break for 15 minutes.